From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
This is a numbers game tradition unlike any other. The annual pre-Masters appearance by the man who literally wrote the book on Masters Analytics. You may remember it from a couple years ago, or actually a few years ago now, called Joe Pita's Tour Guide Presents a 2019 Masters Preview, including a never-before-seen 2018 Augusta National Strokes Gained report at that time. Literally, the only guy who dove into the non-public domain, very proprietary deep dive of analytics there at Augusta. It's Joe Pita, everybody in studio. How you doing, man?
Hey, great to be here, Gil.
You enjoying Bet Bash too?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It was great to be down here so I could come in studio, and I wanted to dress in honor of a couple of your esteemed guests. This is in honor the white sweatshirt. That's in honor of Jimmy Vaccaro.
Yeah,
he always looks great when he sits in studio in his white sweatshirt. And who is your guest who, whenever he comes on, he always has an obscure minor league baseball cap for you?
Dan Bespris.
So I thought, yes. All right, I'm going to wear a hat from an obscure golf club.
Very, very obscure, I see. Augusta National.
Yes.
The most obscure of them all. Yes. The tournament.
You may have heard of it. A little club down there in the, right in the South Carolina-Georgia border.
We have to start by saying, so Joe is, I don't know if reeling is a little too heavy of a word, but when we mentioned the part about it, wind expected Friday. So round two right now, if you look at the forecast, and we all know how forecasts go, but right now the way that it looks is that there will be 20-mile-per-hour winds on Friday. So a little part of you died when you heard that.
Yeah, it did, just as a viewer and a fan standpoint, because, and then you also mentioned it was cooling off Saturday and Sunday. When I watched the Masters, this goes back from, you know, coming out of a thaw in the Northeast. When I watch the Masters, that's one of the spring harbingers. I want to see the patrons in short pants on Saturday and Sunday. And if there's too much wind, to borrow your phrase, I don't want a U.S. Open to break out.
You don't want the U.S. Open breaking out of Augusta.
We need birdies and bogeys, and we don't want wind to take away the birdies on the weekend for excitement. So I hope maybe it's just a localized Friday thing.
Yeah. Hopefully, because otherwise, like you said off air, it kills the sort of distribution of the outcomes and makes for a kind of different tournament. Let's begin with, we'll get to the Tiger question, but let's begin with something you sent me about top course factor adjustments at the Masters. First of all, let's explain what that means.
Sure. That's so, Ed, and you alluded to it earlier, the Masters, the year-to-year correlation of an individual golfer's stroke gained from his past to future, so like T-minus one to, or T to T-plus one, is stronger at the Masters than any other course on tour, and it's not even close.
That's amazing.
And at the other end of that range is TPC Sawgrass, where there is literally nothing about your prior year strokes gain explains your future years. And so at the Masters, it's really important to understand course factor. And then, as I talked about in the book, you really want to calculate it correctly. And course factor doesn't just mean you play well at Augusta. There's a lot of guys that play well at Augusta because they're great golfers. What you want to find are guys who raise their game at Augusta. For instance, Tiger has a positive course factor at Augusta. Phil has a very high course factor. And that's amazing because their baselines coming into Augusta, the baseline being how did they perform over that whole year, it's amazing. So, and that's why I say it's stronger at Augusta than any other. So what I have done is I've calculated and I think we're going to have a graphic of the top 10 course factors at Augusta. So these are, and this is a minimum 12 rounds played, and these are the guys who have strokes gained essentially over expectation, and expectation just being their baseline for the year, how they performed at Augusta. And it's an interesting list because there are some names you definitely expect on there, and there are some names that you might not. And it's really some of the names that are missing that might surprise you. So I don't know if you want to, put up the list or how we go from...
Well, why don't you start before we put it up? Well, we put it up. There you go. So start at 10 and go work your way up to 1.
Yeah, so 10 is Tony Finau. Tony Finau has been a staple of mine in my predictions for the Masters. You may recall in 2019, I picked him to win it, which was a really out there call when the book was published in January before the Masters. He didn't win, but it worked out.
He led after the third round.
When he walked off the course in the third round, he was leading. He was guaranteed to be in the final group at that point. Molinari did catch him and was leading going into the final round. And I still feel if they hadn't moved up the tourney early, they had to remember. If you remember, there was call for rain on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They moved tee times way up by hours. They put him in groups of three. And that brought Tiger into the final group. And I really feel, I project that hurt Tony Finau a little bit. He didn't need the pressure of playing next to Tiger. And when Molinari dumped his ball on 12 in Rays Creek, I still can't believe Finau then did it as well and followed up.
That was the turning point of that tournament.
Yeah, because finally Molinari cracked.
Molinari looked like he was going to win that Masters. And then in the water, and then Finau... in the water. Who was it? Dean, our mutual friend Dean, was telling us yesterday. It was an interesting story about how Kepka had Kepka gone in the water before Molinari.
Right, because this was the last group. Kepka in the group before dumped it in the water, and apparently he, and this is part of his plan,
right,
he shows no emotion.
Yes.
So he didn't toss any grass in the air. He didn't look up at the wind like, what's up? And, what Kepka says is, I don't want to give any clues to anybody watching as to whether how the course plays.
So Molinari, who was coming up the 11th at that point, wouldn't have been able to tell at a glance of Kepka that anything had gone wrong. And so in some weird, vague way, it's almost like he almost assisted Tiger, if you believe, right, that Molinari saw no danger, Will Robinson on the horizon, right? And then him and Finau both going in. And then Tiger to the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you see Tiger's course factor adjustment. He was number 9. That is incredible because of the high level of play that Tiger has always been at the Masters. And then some names that might surprise you. Corey Connors, Russell Henley, that probably has to shock people. But again, these are golfers who have raise their game at Augusta. They may end up, I think in the case of Henley and Connors, a couple appearances where they finished with seven strokes gained or more. And that's almost averaging two around. That's way above what they've done on the PGA Tour. We'll hear those names later.
Coming up, Joe's top 10 Masters picks, and I'm sure there's overlap.
Yeah, we'll have some overlap here. Interesting number 6, Justin Rose there. When we spoke last year, when I gave my top 10 list last year, you were doing it from the Circa pool, I remember. And you may have had Wes on as your co-host. And I borrowed one of your verbs that you had used during the Nationals playoff run in 2019. And I said that you are compelled
yes.
to walk into Circa and at least take a $20 or a $50 bill out and put it on Justin Rose, who was like 140-1 last year before teeing off purely because of his course factor. And, of course, he led after round one, and he led well into round three last year until Hideki, I think it was after the rain delay in round three, really took over.
The Nationals word, by the way, was obligation.
Right. You were obligated to do that. Yeah. I do have an obligated for you this year, too, at the end of this segment.
I like it.
And then you've got, you know, Leishman, Rahm, Hideki, Cam Smith, and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth's always raises his game here.
Cam Smith, number two. Didn't he? He had one tournament we all four rounds in the 60s?
Yes, I think he was the first guy,
First guy to ever do that.
That's right.
He didn't win, right?
That's right. He did not win. Well, that was was that the year Dustin ran away? DJ.
That was the Fall Masters where Cameron Smith had four rounds in the 60s and didn't even come close to beating DJ.
And then Hideki's touch and go here, right?
Well, exactly. Hideki, and this was, again, Hideki has been a staple of my top 10 calls. You know, I've been calling for sushi at the Champions Dinner since 2019. You know, again, he just raises his game here, and he's always had a pretty high baseline anyway. You won't see him on my top 10 list this year because I have given thanks to what I call the Jason Day factor. I have stopped trying to handicap injuries because I've been burned with Jason Day so many times.
Oh,
I'm not so Hideki, I've just left off. I don't know where he's health wise. If he's healthy, he has great, you know, we saw it last year. But last year wasn't the only year. He'd have been on this list, you know, even without last year's.
But Jordan Spieth is number one on the top course factor adjustments.
That's right. Now, what's important to remember, Gil, is that is above the baseline he's playing at. Jordan Spieth has never had a lower baseline than right now.
Right.
His last 6 months are like replacement level. So, you know, he won't be on the top 10 list. It's kind of a just miss thing because I'm still expecting him to play above his baseline, but his baseline's lower than it's been, so that's why he doesn't crack the top 10.
Interesting. We will find out what Joe's top 10 Masters picks are for the 2022 Masters, which begins Thursday. We'll do that next. And his thoughts on Tiger specifically. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced.
Bring it on.
Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
We talked about him last week. Are you in the camp that it's laughable that anyone would make any positive wagers whatsoever on Eldrick Tiger Woods? Or are you in the camp of, you better not laugh about this dude at this course?
Yeah, you bet. Right. I don't think he's going up there for any ceremonial reasons. I think he is fully intending to play, and you know, maybe it's a game time decision. But
he did in fact use that phrase.
Yeah. And so yes, I believe he will be playing. You know, you cannot count him out. Remember, I was very high on him in 19. Mm-hmm. I had actually picked him third that year and ahead of everybody that was favored over him. But he had played outstanding golf for the 6 to 9 months leading up to last year's to the 2019 Masters. You know, we don't have any baseline like that for this. So I look at the props as very entertaining. Congratulations to Circa for, you know, having entertaining bets out there.
Entertaining.
Because this is an entertainment business.
And we talked about it at BetBash, or Matt Metcalf did, where it was, he's like, hey, look, it's just fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Those are fun bets. So I'm not touching them. I hope that they all win, you know, on the bullish side, because we'd love to see Tiger.
And again, for those looking at the bottom there, I said, make the cut. Yes, it's plus 120. That's all. Again, remember, the Masters is like a 91 field, you know, group field, 91 player field. And 15 of those guys are Sandy Lyle, basically. Right? So it's.
That's right. Then so, 50 plus ties make the cut, which really means you're going to probably have anywhere from 55 to 60, 61 guys making the cut. And yeah, so that's only 30 that miss. And if 15 of them are ceremonial, you know.
Yeah. Okay. This is the. So before we get into your top 10, the real development. You haven't remained static with your Masters data. Tell us what's going on.
So when I wrote the book had 2018 detailed stroke gains data, strokes gain data. For any Masters, we can get strokes gain total, but the components of it were only available in 2018 when I wrote the 2019 book. I have then added 2019, 2020, and 2021. I also got a tip from someone, a reader, who said to me, would you like access to 17 and 18, or 16 and 17.
Why, yes, which are I would.
I was like, of course I would. So that was another 80 hours of work each tournament, logging every shot into. But I now have a six-year database. And after this year, it'll be seven. And I think for Christmas, I'm going to put together a big book and really dive into the details of the 7 years of strokes gained. But so what we have this year, Gil, is we do have a new development. Not only do we know that, you know, that strokes gained have the highest correlation year to year at this event. But now I can tell you which components are the ones that are driving that. And it was a surprise. And I will reveal, I won't get into the standard deviations or the correlations, but the most important thing year over year at the Masters is strokes gained off the tee. That is surprisingly has a very, very high correlation. And I've got some great stats on a couple of guys in the top 10 that we'll get to.
All right, number 10. Top 10 Masters predictions from Joe.
Yeah, number 10, we just saw his name, Corey Connors. Corey Connors, and this is purely based on Corey Connors has played well in his three or four other appearances here. But this year, he's coming in with his highest baseline in the last six and last 12 months. He's been about a stroke and a quarter better than the field in strokes gained total. Add to that higher baseline with his history here, he sneaks into number 10. Number 9 is Xander Schauffele. I don't think people remember how close he came to threatening Hideki last year until he dumped a ball in the water on 16. But if you watch that, and this was going over all the strokes, he didn't dump the ball in the water on 16. He came up just short in hitting that, you know, that area in the back left on 16 on Sunday. Now, you're probably supposed to hit it onto the hill and let it roll down to the right, but he was very close. Number 8 is Russell Henley. And again, this has to be a bit of a shocker. This is a very high odds guy. However, Henley played in the Masters in every year from 13 to 18, except for 16. And in those four appearances, they're stellar. No miscuts and way over his baseline. Now he revamped his game. He's coming in with a higher baseline than ever before. He, like Connors, over the last 12 months, he's about a stroke and a quarter better. But over the last 6 months, he's about a stroke and three quarters better than the average PGA player. So this is a compelling long shot to me. Now, maybe you don't want, you know, we're going to throw a little bit on the outrights, but this might be a very top 20, top 10 type interesting bet to place on Henley. Number 7 is Patrick Cantlay. He does not have a good course adjustment history here. It's pretty much flat versus his baseline. He putts very poorly here, but you cannot ignore how high his performance level has been over the last 12 months. So I've got him at number 7. It's probably a little bit of a fade based on his actual outright odds. You just can't discount how well he's played over the last 12 months. But despite coming close in 19, he really has not played here well. And his putting, as I say, like the components, I can do his round-by-round putting, and it's not favorable. Number six is DJ. DJ, when you get into the components, this is a surprise. Dustin Johnson has been, from 1 year to the next, the best strokes gained approach player at the Masters. He has, of all the rounds he has played here, he has the highest percentage of anybody who we have strokes gained detail for in terms of positive strokes gained round approach. That is, in 18 rounds, he has 16 or 89% that have been positive strokes gained approach. Number five is Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith has played very well here, even before he won the before he won it at TPC Sawgrass. I like him here. That obviously shortened his odds. I like the top four better, but Cam Smith, look for him to be a factor. He just putts so well here, and he's such a great putter. So that's number five. Number four is Scottie Scheffler.
There he is.
I wish Scottie Scheffler hadn't won three tournaments in the last, two and a half months, because
now that would have been a bet.
Those were some great odds at the beginning of the year, and I had it teed up, but I don't try to guess these in the future. But I knew his course factor was great. His details on his eight rounds here. He didn't appear on the course factor list because he's only played eight rounds but he's just got positive readings across the board. And obviously he's playing great. I think he's going to be a factor here for a number of years. Number three is here a big surprise. We got a guy up around 50-1, and that's Daniel Berger.
Leiflet.
Yeah, Daniel Berger, and this is the shocker. I mentioned about strokes gained off the tee being so important from year to year. Daniel Berger has played 14 rounds here, and 93% of them, so I guess that's 13 out of 14 rounds, have been positive strokes gained off the tee. There's only one guy better, and we will get to him. And he putts tremendously here. The weakness is the irons, for sure. That's the weakness of his game. But he's got a nice baseline coming in. He has just displayed such excellence here that I think we can put him down for three or four strokes gained off the tee. Then he's putting well. All right, he's just got to get hot irons going. And, price-wise, I love it. I can't take him above the top two guys because number two is Rory. Rory has played better in the last 6 months than people think. I think there's more of narrative hurting him than actual performance. Obviously, he has also had some meltdowns in majors. I do wonder what goes on in his head. But Rory off the tee obviously is tremendous here as well. But no one is better off the tee at Augusta than Jon Rahm. He has had 20 rounds here. He has never had a negative strokes gained off the tee in those 20 rounds. And in fact, his worst was gaining a half stroke on the field. It's just incredible. And his putting, of everybody in the field that we have data on too, his worst strokes gained round gain putting was negative one and a third strokes. That's the best of any worst. So Jon Rahm is my pick to win it. I know it's chalky. I wish it weren't. But there's a reason. Just any way you're weighing these different factors, Jon Rahm's going to come out.
I have
one.
A play on Rory, so I'm happy about that. By the way, here's a tweet. Is this one of your college buddies right here who just sent a picture of you from your younger days, Joe? Who said, Gil? He said, I'll get the exact quote here from the tweet, but he said a picture of you as a young man. He said, "Hey, Gil, you sure you want to trust this specimen with your hard-earned dollars with his Masters pick?" Hashtag. Bet profit.
It was
as well.
It was my understanding those records had been sealed forever. That is a picture of whether it's Billy Joel or Adele, that's when we were young.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And now to break down the 86th Masters at Augusta, which of course begins this Thursday. It's my primetime action partners, Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin, as we do this from the South Point studio. Gentlemen, how you doing? You excited? You got Masters fever?
I do now. All of a sudden. Yes, after the week of last week gets by and, you know, we get through everything and I sat down yesterday and started really focusing in on everything, I'm pumped. I'm pretty pumped.
How many outrights you got right now?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Ooh, I like. Kelly, you?
Yeah, I have 5 made, two at least 2 to add. So yeah, I'll be up to 7.
Okay, before we get into all your picks, whether it's outrights or derivatives, can I ask you the same question I asked of really everybody I had on, but Joe Pita before this on the podcast as well? Where do you guys stand on the whole Tiger Woods deal here? As we sit here recording this on Monday, it appears as though he is going to try and tee off on Thursday. And there is a faction of people, I'm guessing maybe this is you guys, but there's a faction of people who, before you can almost finish the sentence, hey, what do you think Tiger has a shot? The chuckles, the snickers will begin. But then there's a group of people who are like, yeah, you probably shouldn't laugh whenever Tiger Woods is involved at the Masters.
Yeah, I watched One American Hours of him just hitting balls on the range today because Golf Channel went out and they were like, the title of the broadcast was, you know, range, and they were going to have interviews with players and this, that. And it was not that. They just basically sat a camera on Tiger Woods for an hour and it was nothing but him hitting balls for an hour. So,
and your conclusion was?
He's out there with Justin Thomas, his good buddy. They're chucking it up, you know, laughing and, you know, hooping and hollering and all that. And like, he seemed in great spirits, looked like, you know, everything was fine. Didn't, you know, there was no wincing. There was no whatever. It looked like a dude who was warming up to play that week. So
yeah,
he's going to play.
I didn't watch an hour of it, but I watched about 20 minutes of it. And I had multiple quotes from players, right? Like Kuchar was out there. He was like, he's ready to go. He's ready to go right now. So I think he's going to play too. I think the markets with him are interesting as you get further than that. Like, I mean, we've seen at Circa the complete one stroke prop. I mean, that's up to -1550 as of Monday afternoon. I think he's going to tee off. I think with Tiger Woods, how well he knows this course, I would not be making a bet either way on him making or missing the cut. I think his finishing position could become interesting. I think it's up to 57 right now at Circa. Kind of wishing I would have jumped on it at
back to 57.
Yeah, back to 57. Kind of wishing I would have jumped on it Friday. I think we were talking about it. It was 47. Was hoping it was going to continue to sink and then play over. I think the 4 days, and we talked a little bit about this on Primetime Action last week. I think the 4 days is going to be tough for him to get all the way through that. 2 days, though, and to make the cut, I'm not betting either one way or the other on Tiger Woods with that.
The number had fallen, just to kind of get back to your original question, the number had fallen to like a laughable state where when it got down to 40-1, that's just ridiculous, right? I'm looking right now. I mean, at PointsBet out there, it has gotten back up to 80-1, right, on Tiger, which I still think that's not enough.
We're getting there.
But it's approaching, right? Yeah. I don't think that's enough. But it's at least approaching where it should be, right? Like somewhere appropriate for a guy that hasn't played a competitive stroke of golf in 17 months should be 110, 120, something like that or whatever. I don't care if it is Tiger Woods, you know? I mean, this is a guy who has not played a tournament in 17 months, you know, on tour. And so, and not only that, coming back off of a horrible, horrible injury that almost ended his career. So,
That's true, because in 2019, he was playing, like, great golf before the
Masters. Like 100, he had, like, 100 holes, like, leading into that tournament where he was, like, on. Like, I mean, it was kind of like where everyone kind of started going, like, dude, what's going on with Tiger? Like, this is weird, you know? So it's not the same scenario.
Okay. So unlike Sawgrass, which would be the least predictive of all golf courses, Augusta is actually the most predictive from year to year. What are you specifically looking for as the number one skill set at Augusta? And then break it down from there, sir. What you got?
Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, it's played on the same, at least the same grounds since 1934. So this is one of those things where the course has morphed over the years for sure. It's going to be playing at 7,510 yards this year, which is the longest that it's ever played. They added to the par 4 11th. They added to the par 5 15th. Both of those have been lengthened. So the one of them's 520 yards now. One of them's 550 yards now. But the course, yes, the land is the same. The strategy is still the same. The greens are still lightning fast with all kinds of undulations. The fairways are still wide, but all kinds of slanted and all different things like that. So it's basically all the same. So, you know, for me, first and foremost, I kind of just started to look at the field in general to start to whittle down, right? Because we're 91 players now because JJ Spahn won on Sunday, so he gets in. So 91 players, that's including Tiger Woods. You start to look at this and it's like, okay, Sandy Lyle, Jose Maria Olazabal, Vijay Singh, Larry Mize, Mike Weir, Fred Couples, Patrick Harrington, and Bernard Longer are all playing, right? That's eight players right off the top you can just whack right out of consideration. You know, I mean, like, for an example, Larry Mize played last year, he shot 84-79. You know, like, Sandy Lyle played last year, he shot 81-75. You know, it's they're totally. To us, they're awesome. Like, I mean, like, yes, like, they would destroy us.
It's so funny as you were saying that. That's exactly what I was thinking in my head.
Like if they were playing with us, we'd be like,
wow,
dude, 84, you're awesome.
79.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're awesome.
What a loser.
Comparatively, yes, to the best golfers in the world. Like, they've got no shot, right? And then you've got amateurs in here. So there's six amateurs. I'm not saying they have no chance of winning. Very, very, very little chance of winning. So if there's 91, you subtract those 14 players, we're sitting at 77. Then you add in Bryson DeChambeau, Paul Casey, Hideki Matsuyama, Abe Anser, Webb Simpson, all these guys coming in injured.
There's a ton. It's amazing.
So that's five more guys that you take out of there. So, like, now we've whittled down from 91 to about 70 now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, once you kind of take out the olds and the amateurs and the herd.
The olds.
So it's like all those
Olds
guys.
Oldsmobile or olds?
So now we're down to 70, Gil, and 50 in ties make the cut. So it's like, you know, we're down to like 70 players that we really consider having a chance here, and then 50 in ties make it.
50 in ties, and it usually ends up, what, 56, 57, somewhere like that. So
Something like that. Yeah. I would say probably more than 55, closer to 60, something like that.
Which is why, getting back to Tiger for a second, the reason that he's so close to a coin flip, make or miss the cut, because we just identified the window in between those two things, like 13 golfers, right, between making it and being Sandy Lyle or whoever.
And the other point, I think, with you know, how what Matt just laid out is it requires you, if you bet golf if you only bet the majors and you're a light bet, you know, golf bettor, this doesn't really matter what I'm about to say. If you bet golf regularly like Matt and I do, you kind of need to adjust numbers then in your head of, you know, what is a fair outright price? What is a fair top 10 price? What is a fair top 20 price when you consider the field is already shorter than what you normally get on the PGA Tour, but then extra shorter when you eliminate guys like that already. So I think that's one thing that you kind of, if you're doing this regularly, you have to be able to adjust as you go in to start price shopping and betting on players.
I just took 10 minutes and avoided Gil's question altogether, which was, what are we looking for in golfers? But I just wanted to, like, get the backstory there on, you know, kind of like whittling down some of, like, so first and foremost, I lopped off a bunch of guys.
Right.
Like that, so that was like, no, first,
that's part of the answer, right?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I lopped off a bunch of the guys. And then going in here, you know, listen, we do off the tee every single week, so that obviously has to be something that we look at. But this is a bomber's course, right? Like, driving distance matters. So driving distance is super prominent for me this week. You're looking at guys that play long par fours well, because we are looking at a lot of, you know, 440-ish to 500-yard par fours. So we're looking at that type of stuff. Me personally, I took in bogey avoidance and three-putt avoidance into my model this week because you got to kind of be patient here at this course. And so you just got to take some par sometimes, right? Like you just got to be able to kind of take your medicine because these greens are super, super tough. These greens are super, super fast. So sometimes you just got to lie, get up there and take your two-putt and move on, right? And not try to be super, super aggressive on all this stuff. And so that was really what I was looking at this week, Kelly. I mean, I did short game as well because, again, like I said, these greens have a lot of runoff, and so there's going to be a lot of guys that think they're on the green and it's going to roll right off, and they got to have some nice little touch and be able to get it back up there close. But that's really all I looked at this week. I didn't go super complicated in the model.
Yeah, this no, me either. I think the Masters and the Masters model is kind of, you know, basically rinse and repeat from the years before. You may maybe add a little bit. For me, it wasn't much, though. I would say I'm looking at it now. So over 60% of my model is distributed between strokes gained approach, strokes gained off the tee, driving distance, and greens and regulation gains. So that's, you know, greens and regulation hand in hand with shot with approach. You know, it's that they kind of go hand in hand. Your approach shots are often getting on the green. But just pulling up some of these stats from Justin Ray, he had earlier for people to understand how important these are out there. Since 2015, on strokes gained approach at Augusta, leaders are Jordan Spieth, Louis Oosthuizen, and Corey Connors, Hideki Matsuyama, Paul Casey, and Webb Simpson. Some interesting names in there. And then most strokes gained ball striking, which combines off the tee and approach, at the Masters last 4 years. DJ, Corey Connors, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, and Brooks Koepka in that order. So those were things that, you know, I was looking at heavy. As far as other stats that I did sprinkle in there, Matt, scrambling a little bit, it's, you know, something we always – there's been years where there has been massive outliers of guys that have scrambled well at the Masters, really keeping themselves.
You
know,
scrambling, I went short game. You know, exactly. It's, yeah, it was just how we chose to.
Yeah, I did a little bit of scrambling. I did a little bit of short game like yourself, too, just as my putting kind of, instead of strokes game putting, went strokes game short game. Did bogey avoidance like you did as well. And then a little bit of strokes gained par 5, par 4, and some proximity, 175 to 200, which includes a couple of the par 3s in there as well. So, yeah, that was, you know, pretty similar models, just lightly adding some things this year as opposed to last year, and just kind of tweaking how I weighted some things. But it's heavy off the tee and heavy approach.
And Gil, you've done enough shows with us to know, like, I don't ever weigh putting, like,
right.
It's just not a thing for me. And if we want to kind of drive that home here at Augusta,
because it's too random.
It's so hard. Like, yeah. You talk to anybody, right? Like, they can't read these greens. It's super, super hard to read these greens. They're lightning fast with all kinds of. So the last 14 winners of this tournament, strokes game putting, rank in the world. So Hideki won it last year. He was 175th in the world in putting.
Yeah.
You go back, Dustin Johnson's 48th. Tiger Woods was 74th. Patrick Reed was 72nd. Sergio Garcia was 162nd. Danny Willett was 60th. The only guy that was inside the top 20, Jordan Spieth in 2015 was 9th overall. Bubba Watson, 109. Adam Scott, 130. Bubba Watson, 142. Charles Schwartzel, 96. Phil Mickelson, 133. So you get the picture. Like, you don't have to be a good putter to win here, right? Because it's so hard for everyone that you don't have to be good because you can't really be all that good.
That's good advice because I'm sure there's some people out there trying to figure this out based on putting stats. And if you're doing that, you're going down the wrong
trail. It's just tough. I mean, that doesn't mean whoever wins this probably will have a great putting week. That's not what Matt's saying. Yeah. You know, it's just hard to predict. It is extremely hard, difficult to predict, especially at this golf course.
All right, before we get your picks, and I asked this earlier because – the deal on the weather forecast, if you looked at the weather forecast, so Friday, Friday looks like, you remember when we do football games in here, the three of us, and we're like, well, you know, anything over 15 miles per hour kind of gets dicey. You're at 20 miles per hour, that's like a thing. And it's supposed to be 20 mile per hour winds on Friday. Does that screw the pooch on your models a bit? Does it scare you a little bit?
Not a ton for me, just because this course is so tree lined. Like, it'll be swirling and it'll certainly mess with those guys some for sure. But a little bit less here for me than most places to where I would be worried about something like that. So yeah, I didn't really factor in all that.
I think it's one of those things for me in almost every golf tournament that it's, hey, be aware of it, like you just said, Gil, and then keep your eye on it. And if it's something that, like, there's a lot of bets that I haven't put in yet that maybe you know, I'm going to wait till things maybe clear up 2 days from now. You get a clearer vision of how it's really going to look on Wednesday instead of a Monday, right? I think that all matters a lot. I don't think you can be sitting here, you know, on a Monday before a golf tournament and really making bets based off of what you think the weather's going to be. Even when you try to do that on a Wednesday, it sometimes shifts. I mean, if it shifts by a couple hours and you're targeting certain groups, that strategy can go completely out the window. So I think it's something to always keep in mind and, you know, keep your eye on it. And for this week, for sure, you know, the way they are predicting it, it could absolutely mess with how you might want to do, make or miss cut bets, first round leader bets, you know, who knows? Could be several things that get impacted by that. But I think as far as just whole tournament betting, I think it's something to keep in mind, you know, look at it as you get closer to the tournament. I just wouldn't be building that into how you're going to predict, you know, make your bets right now on a Monday.
I mean, yeah, what else are you going to do, right? You're not going to throw out everything, but something to keep in mind for sure, because that could obviously wreak havoc. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to some names, however you want to do this.
Yeah, I mean, so look, you look at the top, and you can basically make a case for so many of these dudes at the top, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you look at Jon Rahm's last four Masters, T5, T7, T9, and fourth. You know,
PETA, for what it's worth, he had Rahm as the best guy on the course. Yeah,
Cam Smith in three of his last four Masters, T10, T2, T5. Jordan Spieth, T3 last year, T46 in that fall version, that weird fall version, T21, third, T11, T2, won it, and then a T2. Like Jordan Spieth, like course history here, 8 starts, 8 made cuts, 5 top threes, and a T11, right? If we're talking outside of Tiger Woods, as far as like course history of modern players, I understand we're not going back to like Ben Hogan and all these people, but like modern players here, as far as course history outside of Tiger, Jordan Spieth is like the guy, right? I mean, like, and again, we talk about this is maybe the only course where course history really and truly does play into kind of how you go. So you get to the top of the board here.
Just quickly, again, Matt, like that's what 2015 leads in approach, strokes gained approach, Jordan Spieth. Like that's not, you know, he's a good approach player. Not sure we would necessarily have, I wouldn't have guessed that he led that in that statistic since 2015 at the Masters, that's for sure.
Yeah, so just, you make a case for all these guys. I just started to kind of whittle down from an odds perspective and then at least a little bit of recent form perspective. And so, listen, Jon Rahm is phenomenal, awesome, awesome golfer. I just can't get there where his current odds are comparatively to the rest of the guys at the top of the board, right?
Yeah,
like,
me either.
I'm able to get
– Rahm you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, like I'm able to get Cam Smith at 18-1, which I do have in my account. Like I'm able to get Cam Smith at 18-1, a guy who has – he also has good course history here. He is also a guy who's won this year. He is also a guy who, for whatever reason, continues to find his way into the top tens when we get to Sundays, and he's always around. And I don't have to pay that premium that I'm having to pay for Jon Rahm, you know. And listen, he very well might go out there and win this thing. As I said, T5, T7, T9, and fourth, his last four
for
trips. Like his last four trips here. Yeah. He very well might go do that. But, you know, we're looking at some places 8, 9, 10 to 1 on that. I'm nearly getting double that.
You're not betting that.
You know, I'm nearly getting double that on a guy that I think as far as skill set and form and all that has about the same amount of win equity as Rahm. So, I mean, my shortest guy is Justin Thomas. He is a guy that if you go over the model.
He does not have the kind of Masters history that you've just been talking about.
No, he really doesn't. He just has the skill set history that's going on here. So, in the model that I ran, 50 rounds, he's second overall, 36 rounds. He is first overall, 24 rounds. He is first overall. And then when I go to even 12 rounds, he's first overall in the model that I ran. So this is just a trust the numbers, trust that this guy's one of the very best golfers in the world, and go ahead and play him there. And listen, we were able to get a little bit better number here than we talk about this. We're not able to make all the bets you guys are rest of country, but we at least get some outright numbers that are rogue every now and then. And I was able to get him kind of like 16-1-ish, you know, it was like 15-80 whenever I got him, which you can't find anywhere rest of the country.
That's one I haven't even shopped around on yet. Was hoping I could find a better number here in town. So love hearing that from Matt because same here. I didn't even run a last 50-round model for this, Matt, but 36, 24, 12, he is painted across the board number one in my model.
Like I said, Cam Smith at 18-1. This is a guy who, in every single version, is top 20, if not top 10, in this. And also, we're just talking about win equity here, and that's, you know, we're betting outrights. I want win equity. This guy can go and win tournaments. He has proven that he can go and win on a Sunday, and he can track people down. He can also protect leads as well. And
who was your number one, Kelly? I'm sorry.
Justin Thomas. Both of us had him.
Yeah.
Number one, basically.
So he's in there at 18-1. I'm playing the number one player in the world as well. Kelly turned me on to a better number that I was even seeing here in town. I got Scottie Scheffler at 20-1, and I can't.
Wow.
I feel really, really good about that. I mean, this is the most consistent golfer pretty much going right now. And we talk about win equity. I mean, he's gone out and won three times in his last five starts. And once you kind of get that ball rolling with a guy that's as talented as he is, we've seen guys rattle off, and we've seen guys continue to pound the leaderboards after they kind of get that monkey off their back of that first win, where everyone kept saying, when's Scottie Scheffler going to finally win? When's he going to finally win?
What's his number if he didn't win three tournaments in the last 2 months, let alone, I mean, even if he only won like once?
25 to 30, probably something like that.
Not higher?
Maybe 30, 35. Well, it was 35. I mean, it was 35 6 weeks ago.
Was it? Okay, yeah. There you go.
It was 35 6 weeks ago. So
three wins just knocked it down to 20?
Yeah.
Wow.
So have him at 20. Listen, this the long time ticket that I've been holding on to is Sam Burns. And this is, I wanted to get out ahead of the number. It was, I found at 85. Kelly even got it better than that at 87. You can't find him. I mean, he's 50 or 40 everywhere right now. So we did beat that number by a ton. But the thing that made me feel really good is in every single version of this model that I ran, Sam Burns finished inside the top five.
Yeah.
In every single version of this model, because the guy doesn't three putt, the guy doesn't bogey a lot, and he's out there able to hit the approach shots. He's good from a short game perspective, and then he's also pretty good off the tee as well with driving distance. And so he's inside the top 20, top 16 actually in this field in driving distance as well. And so he just has everything that I was looking for in this, and so to be able to get him at that type of number was fantastic for me. My last two plays were just number plays, so off market that it's impossible for you to pass up. I got Luke List at 450-1. You can't find him anywhere. Like, he's 130 everywhere else, like rest of the country right now. 130, 140. Got him at 450-1.
You give anybody 450-1 on anything.
A guy that's won a tournament this
you
year.
Make that bet.
A guy that's won a tournament this year.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so that's just strictly a numbers play. And the other was just a number play was Robert McIntyre. He is a guy that actually does show up pretty well in my models, like overall as well. But 274-1 here in town. Down the street at Circa there, Kelly. This guy is 110 at DraftKings. He's 120 at FanDuel. So you are getting more than double at Circa what you're getting at the books the rest of country or whatever. And they just, you know, they move their odds pretty aggressively. And sometimes for a guy like McIntyre, he's a lefty as well. We know lefties have had a ton of success at Augusta. And he keeps showing up in kind of like the top 30 in my model, and at 274-1, that just doesn't add up to me. That just doesn't equate. So that's the type of stuff I look for when I play these longer shot guys. And so that's kind of my card right now. I'll probably add another name or two here before it's all said and done, but I'll probably just start getting aggressive in the head-to-heads, getting aggressive in the groupings, trying to target guys to go after and fade. You know, I mean, again, these guys that are coming in and playing injured, I'm going to go after those guys. I did it this past week.
Oh, so you haven't done the head to heads yet?
No.
They haven't posted them yet. Who's the 274-1 now again?
Robert McIntyre.
Okay. So do you end up now with more Masters, with more outrights on this tournament than you typically do on other tournaments?
Yes.
And is the reason for that because the field is smaller?
The field is smaller.
For everything you said at the top.
Yes. So I'll have some more outrights than usual because of, like we said, I only think that there's about 70 guys that have a shot in the first place.
Right.
Of those 70, X amount of them don't fit what I'm looking for in a golfer. That doesn't mean they won't win, but that's not what I'm looking for. And so now I've got this little pool here of like 30 guys that I think really can win this thing. So
and bets on a significant portion.
So
of
I'll put in 8 to 10 kind of outright.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think that the you know, it's same for me. I also think there's even more that goes into that of just the you know, a lot of the ones that, that Matt and I have both bet together over the past several months, you're just trying to pick off good numbers at the right time, right? And so that's Luke List. You know, that was Sam Burns where we got him, even Scottie Scheffler just a week ago, whatever the heck that was, man. It was only a week ago, week and a half ago. You know, just trying to jump on some of these numbers before you know they're going to move, too. So I think that some of those, like, I bet a little lighter than normal, but, you know, because I hadn't run models, hadn't run everything for this week yet, but kind of knew those were guys that numbers were going to fall drastically on, so wanted to get out ahead of them. As far as outrights that I have right now, are everything that was made before today, before this week. I'll be adding on a couple here. Scottie Scheffler 20-1, like Matt talked about. Daniel Berger 55-1, which is maybe the only bet I've made the past few months that I would say I maybe regret a little bit. But it's still a good number on him. You're still not seeing him really around that. He's a little shorter, about 45-1 in most places. Sam Burns 87-1. Gary Woodland 100-1. I am on because I will not miss Gary Woodland's next win.
and then him Luke in List, perpetuity until he wins.
That's right. Luke List 450-1. Like Matt brought up, other ones that I plan on adding, Justin Thomas, I'm going to play. And that is one that, like Matt said, in his models, in my models, we're seeing him number one painted across the board in all my models that I ran. Matt's two outside of his top 50. That is a bet I will be putting in. I think that if I see a 16-1, I will jump on it. I think the other good advice out there, Matt, is if you are looking to bet, you know, a Rahm or a JT, one of these guys at the top of the board, you know, a lot of the betting that's going to occur over the next few days is not going to be on them per se. You're going to get a lot of the public coming in on longer numbers. So, and there's only so much room those guys can drop. So I think if you can also wait a little bit, if you see some books them starting to go down, maybe jump on it. But a lot of times those numbers will go up, you know, at one or two or, you know, three little points there. So
one interesting little nugget on that point too. Yeah. And this is something like, if you want to keep a bullet or two kind of in the tank,
right,
and fire in tournament. So only 10% of the players that have finished T10 or better played their best round on Thursday over the last five Masters, right? So you're only talking about 10% of the guys that finished inside the top 10 that their best round came on a Thursday. So you're going to get guys that again play kind of the long game here. Maybe just go out one under, maybe two under,
yep,
on Thursday, find themselves three, four strokes off the lead, and you can get a more favorable number, and you have that kind of in pocket on some of these guys that we're talking about at the top of the board.
Right, exactly.
Right?
And you're right. That is something that I will probably play that strategy with JT. One of the other things that if you do have access to the DraftKings and the points bet and MGMs and FanDuel's out there, we laugh at this all the time, is you can wait till Thursday. If your guy tees off later in the day, wait till these early guys go off and then score a few, you know, scored a few holes. Sometimes those odds jump up a few points just because other guys have teed off and posted semi-decent numbers already. So if you're like me and you're upset over just a small difference in numbers, you might just have to wait a little bit and you can get a better number. So JT, I will add pre-tournament, but like Matt said, we'll probably also leave some wiggle room to jump on him in tournament as well. One guy that I definitely have that plan with is Victor Hovland. I'd like to play Vic this week, Matt. The tournament history obviously is not exactly there with a player like that, but he was top five in every model that I ran. I'd like to be on him at some point this week. I don't know if I'm willing to bet him at 20-1, which is where he's painted at across everywhere East Coast. If I can find longer numbers than that here in town, maybe I'll hop on him pre-tournament, but he might be an in-tournament play for me. Another guy who was top 10 in every one of my models, Joaquin Neiman, you know, another younger guy, not exactly a ton of course history here, but for everything that I weighed in models in recent form-wise, Joaquin Neiman coming in playing really strong. We saw him win, you know, earlier this year out in California at the Genesis. He's fourth in my last 12 rounds model for everything I punched in with him. So I'll probably take a small piece of an outright on him, but love him as a top 20 bet this week. Also, mix it up. This is where I think, again, if you're betting at a DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet, MGM, look for some of these other markets. If there's top South American posted or something like that, you might be able to get a good number on him there. other guy, that's it for outrights that I was targeting. Other guys that I have circled for finishing position and match, finishing position and matchup bets, Matt. Adam Hadwin, you've been on him the past few weeks. I mean, he's just coming in hot right now. I think he could be a good top 40 bet. Had him circled for that. Shane Lowry, kind of same thing. Top 30 or top 40 market. I have him circled for that. Like you said about Sam Burns, numbers continue to back it up even to this week. So I think even outside of the outright bet I have on him, I'll be looking to add a top 20 with him. Luke List as well, top 40, I think is a good market. Bet him in there. So those are some of the guys that I'm targeting. Finishing positions, you know, a lot of those markets just opening today. A lot of matchups not even available to us yet. But those are some other guys that I had circled that might not have the win equity that we always talk about, you know, here on Primetime Action. We talk about it often when we're breaking down some of these golf tournaments. I'm not sure I'm running to bet Shane Lowry or Adam Hadwin to go out and win the Masters. But these guys are coming in hot. I think you can take a nice finishing position.
Back. People are going to say to Sam Burns to my thing, and I have a huge, an awesome number on him, whatever they're going to say. Hadn't been a first-time winner since Fuzzy Zeller in 1979. Agreed, there hasn't been. Sam Burns also has multiple wins.
I don't believe it was a debate.
Like, okay. You know, like Sam Burns also has multiple wins under his belt, like heading into this tournament here. I don't think this is going to be too big for him, so I'm not incredibly worried about that. If you do want to, you know, these guys that we all talked about, we talk about course history, we talk about how this played on the same grounds since 1934. Over the last 5 years, there's only 13 guys that have multiple top 10 finishes in this tournament over the last 5 years. A lot of the names you'd expect. Rahm, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, Cam Smith, Patrick Reed, Tony Finau actually has played this course really well. Now he's coming in not the greatest of form, but he started to play a little bit better this past week as well. Webb Simpson, we talked about him with an injury situation, but he does fall into that category. Brooks Koepka, Mark Leishman, Xander Schauffele, and Corey Connors actually is another guy.
Corey Connors anecdotally has come up over and over and over again. I just want to go back to the advice you both gave. One, Matt, you said, hey, listen, and there's a reason. Like, we're doing this podcast, obviously, before the Masters starts. But it doesn't mean you are confined to betting outrights now. You can wait after the first round to get better prices on guys that were much shorter shots. That's always a good strategy. And Kelly's saying the same thing, but, you know, during the first round even, right? Like the folks who have not teed off in the afternoon, that's always good advice. What one follow-up to this. Well, a couple follow-ups. But one, with a guy like Jordan Spieth, who we were talking earlier, his course factor is the best at this particular course at Augusta. He has a great course history, but he's coming into this Masters probably the worst he's ever played as a body of work. So what wins out in that case for you?
So there have been, if you go to like some case studies, right, like it kind of says don't really buy, like, you know, don't really let it buy into. So for example, Patrick Reed was kind of stumbling when he came in, and then he won, right? Like, even Hideki last year was not playing very well at all, and then Hideki won, right? And then there were several guys leading in. I think the year that Adam Scott won, he had missed like three cuts or something leading into the Masters, you know. So a guy like Spieth that has played as well as Spieth has, I think I'd probably look past the form just a little bit here because it just seems like for whatever reason, this just fits him. This course just seems to fit him. That being said, he is not the longest off the tee. He's not, and we'll monitor this over the next couple of days as well. And certainly, you know, on our big final preview for this on Primetime Action River, but I want to see how soft the conditions are out there because, again, we talk about distance being a help specifically on these par fives, and if there's no run out, you're going to need to be long because you need to get to these par fives in two.
That's where people score on this course.
Like it is. I mean, so Patrick Reed, for example, the year that Patrick Reed won, he was 13 under on the par fives, right? Dustin Johnson and Hideki Matsuyama, last two winners, both were 11 under on the par fives, right?
Yeah, if you look at, like, the collective aggregate scoring of all that, like, the par threes and the par fours, nobody makes their hay on those. It's all on the par fives.
So it's like, if there's no run out and you're not long and you can't get up there in two and have two putts at getting a birdie and stuff, so I would, if I find out it's, like, super, super soft out there, I'm going to weight driving distance even more.
Yeah, that's I think that's a great point, because that's one that I hadn't really thought about it that way, Matt, but I have already been factoring off the tee and distance so much anyways. But you're, I mean, that's, you need guys that can get on the green in two on these par fives. And I'm really not interested in playing anybody else in this tournament than guys that can do that. So that is, if it, whether even if it's not, even if it's done raining, can still affect things like that. So that's a great point.
So have you done any derivative bets, any top 10s, top 20s, anything like that yet?
Not yet. We are not posted here quite yet. So
we're in Nevada, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, not posted here quite yet. I've seen them rest of country, so I at least have a decent idea of what they're going to look like whenever they get posted. So I've kind of started to get some ideas of where I want to go with this. But as always, like pretty much any guy that I, unless it's like these super long shots or something, like pretty much any guy that I bet an outright on, I'll have some sort of placement market bet on them. So with, you know, JT, Smith, Scheffler, Burns, like all those guys, I'll have some sort of placement bet on those guys for sure. But I don't know exactly which one it'll be, whether it'll be a 10, 20, 30, whatever it might be, something like that.
Same for you, Kelly?
Yeah, that's, besides, so I've got the five outrights bet already. I will be adding JT and maybe Hovland if I find a good number on him. I will bet a top 20. I haven't bet anything yet, Gil, but I already know I'll bet a top 20 on Hovland. I'll bet a top 20 on Neiman. And then top 40 on Hadwin is what I saw. Like Matt said, I saw the numbers on the East Coast, so kind of have a rough idea of where I'm going to be bet, what numbers I'm going to be betting. Top 40 on Adam Hadwin, a top 30 on Shane Lowry, and Sam Burns, top 20 on, and probably a top 40 on Luke List as well.
All right, last thing here, last couple things. I don't believe I heard either of you mention Brooks Koepka.
Nope.
I didn't,
and it's a player. It's a player that I struggle with more than others. Like I didn't even speak up when you asked about Jordan Spieth because you kind of know my feelings about him already. I don't.
He talks a lot. That's your feeling.
He talks a lot, man.
Shut up on the damn course, Jordan.
Which shouldn't have. It doesn't have anything to do with betting. But I just checked my models. I don't have him. The best I have is last 12. He comes in at 34th in my model. I just, the recent form, I do value. Absolutely, course form matters here as much in tournament history matters here more than anywhere else on tour. But I still get to trust my numbers a little bit. I'm not going to play Spieth. If he goes and wins, you have to be able to accept certain guys going out and winning. And I think Brooks falls into that category for me too. I am more of a Brooks guy, usually like betting him. He is rounding a bit into form, it seems like, over the past couple months. This is definitely not the Brooks of last year. But he's still, just number-wise in my models, not anywhere near a spot I'm looking at playing him.
Yeah, he's the guy that I have. He's one of the guys, if not the guy, I have the most trouble betting. Because it's just
And will make you perhaps the angriest if he wins.
Yeah, because he never ranks very high in the stuff that I find important. But he just goes out and somehow figures out a way to get it done all the time. And you look at his at here, I mean, a T11, a T2, a T7, and then a miscut, you know? And so you just go like, what the hell? Like, you know, like, what do I make of that? You know? So
yeah.
It's
and no Morikawa either for either of you.
Oh yeah. No, I will actually be on full fade of Morikawa. So
Wow.
I'll be targeting him.
Wow.
Hard in head to heads. I'll be targeting DeChambeau hard in head to heads. I will likely be targeting
DeChambeau
if he decides to play, if he doesn't end up withdrawing. Because, I mean, it must be something, it just said undisclosed for him. But, I mean, you know, he pulls out of his hometown tournament the night before. There's obviously something going on, you know, with him as well. So any of these guys that I think are, that I perceive to be injured, so long as it makes sense, I'm going to be targeting them.
It is interesting. I agree with you. DeChambeau, I will be targeting against. The Abraham Ancer, I think you bring up good points. Morikawa, we love betting Morikawa. He is. So last 12, he's 17th in my model, but other than that, he didn't crack the top 40 on the top last 24 of the last 36. We've just seen, I think it's with him, it's pretty simple. He doesn't have, you know, all the tournament history here that some of these other guys we've been talking about do, Gil. And then, I mean, as hot as Morikawa has been at certain points in his career, he's not exactly, you know, very hot right now. So I'll be okay with passing on him. But I think, I mean, every one of those guys that you brought up, him, Brooks, Spieth, I'd be shocked if we're sitting here on Sunday and they're winning. No, not at all.
Random question. Does Sergio at 85-1 or better interest you at all just because of the number? No?
No.
Not really.
Okay. No.
I had a talk with somebody about Sergio today.
Yeah.
They were wondering.
He's moved, and it's not rightfully so in my mind, but he's like, he's almost moved into that, the olds category.
The olds?
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard for me.
What was the Chris Rock line? Not really old, just a little too old to be in the club kind of thing.
Like in the modern era, guys 43 and older to win this tournament, you might have heard of them. Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
Only two guys that have ever done it.
Those two guys.
Yeah.
All right, last question then, because I put words into your mouth the first time, but I want to get your honest answer to this. The person who will win this, assuming you don't have some in-match, you know, in-tournament bet on him, the person who will win this that will piss you off the most based on the fact that you perhaps thought about betting them, but you didn't, or whatever other reason.
For me, it'll probably be Rory, because I have
a Rory bet.
Because
I was going to say Rory or Brooks for me.
He's a guy that I typically get on whenever the odds start to drift and stuff. And so I've been on him several times when the odds start to drift. Fortunately, was able to catch the win on him, you know, last year whenever the odds drifted all the way up to, like, what was it, 28-1 in that one tournament or something like that that I got him at.
Yeah, we were both on him, yep.
But it's just not there for me with him right now. And so if he wins, I will feel great for him because completing that Grand Slam is awesome and all right. that. But that'll be the one that just pisses me off the most, because this is typically where I pull the trigger and get back in.
I will be thrilled.
I think it's a great question, because I think it would right as you were saying it right away, it was Rory or Brooks in my head. I think it is Rory, just looking at my numbers more, because he is in a range as far as what I'm seeing in my models of I could back up a bet for him, you know, easily. So I think it's probably him, because I think he's probably the guy who will end up leaving off of my card, and he'll probably be one of the kind of last cuts that didn't make it.
Can't wait for this on Thursday. Is there anything better than sitting on your butt on a couch watching the Masters all day long?
I mean, seriously.
What, and the coverage is jacked up on Sunday? Is that what you were saying earlier? Did we have this conversation? No, I had that with Pete earlier, which is, do we get to see all 18 holes of the Masters on network television, or do they, like, fluff off the first? Because I remember, like, through the Tiger year, we saw everything. But didn't we, like, only get the CBS coverage, you know, on the greatest tournament of them all, not quite at the beginning?
Masters is always limited.
Yes, that pisses me off. Oh, so you have to, like, go streaming for the first part of it? Why? Why would they do this?
Listen, golf is in for, we think, a lot of revolutionary stuff. Like, the coverage needs to get exponentially
for
better.
For sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I think you two should have your own podcast. You guys should have your own golf podcast. What would you call it if you, and what's the working title?
What was the first one? Birdies with Brown and Bidlin.
Birdies with Brown and Bidlin.
B3.
B3.
There it is.
Birdies with Brown and Bidlin. All right, make that happen. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. For Joe Pita, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, good luck with all your bets for the 86th Masters.
Yeah. From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.